Crystal did a great job on the announcements. As she mentioned, my name's Chip. I'm on staff here at Calvary. And one of the things that I get to do out of many things on staff here is I have the honor of overseeing the Capital campaign, and that is called Multiply. And that kicked off almost two years ago. If you don't know what it is, there's great information on our website, multiplycalvary.com, and also on our app. But coming back, if you can believe it, you know, we've actually been meeting at Connard now for just over 10 years. And some of you have been here that entire time. Maybe some of you have started coming before that. Maybe some of you, this is your first Sunday or somewhere in between. And while we love Connard and there's many amazing things that God has done here, we also know that he has something else planned for us when it comes to our own permanent location in the future, and that's where the campaign comes in. So I wanted to give you two quick updates this morning. If you remember, the goal for the campaign was $1.5 million. That $1.4 million was pledged to that, and your generosity in this matter has been amazing. I'm happy to report that we have over 775,000 of that has already come in, and we're just shy of 2 years on the campaign. So thank you so much for your generosity. Now, probably more interesting to you, we have a very recent update that we wanted to share with you in regards to the search for property. We just submitted a letter of intent and made an offer on a property here in town that is not far from where we are. And this was done with tons of prayer, done with tons of counsel and advice over the past few months. And the update on that is that the offer was rejected. So I heard the audible sighs. And here's the thing. I know more than anybody that can be discouraging to hear. We know that God still has a plan. I can say that, even if we don't know what it is now. But while we don't believe necessarily that's the end, maybe, for that particular place, simultaneously, we are already pursuing a brand new lead, like hot off the press, brand new. So that's really cool, too, and not as discouraging. What we can take away from the rejection of that offer is something encouraging if you look at it from a perspective, right? Because the future building, when we receive that gift, it's simply going to be a tool to reach people, right? But God's presence isn't just in a building. I think we know that. It's within a community of believers striving towards a common goal. And that's something that I know that we have here at Calvary. So please, don't let that, I know I heard the sighs, don't let the discouragement from a rejected offer creep up on you. I already did that for you this week a little bit, so don't worry about that. Know that God is and always will be moving, and as we pursue these new leads, we're going to update you as we continue to move forward. And the two-year anniversary of the campaign, November 3rd, so mark your calendars, join us for that first Sunday in November. We'll celebrate some amazing things, we'll update a few more things throughout the course, and that's what I have for you as far as an update. So let's just pray before Bill comes up. Father God, just thank you so much for your provision, for your steadfastness in caring for us, and Lord, even in disappointment sometimes, even in rejection, we know that you are just continuing to push your kingdom forward. You're just continuing to provide for us as well, Lord. And we pray now, and we know that your will be done when it comes to finding a property. We know that when the time comes and you bless us, we know it's going to be more than we could possibly imagine, Lord. And I just pray now for a good rest of the service, that we can continue on in a time of in the Word, that our hearts would be encouraged, and that you would speak to each and every one of us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning. I'm going to take you back a little bit. My daughter was 2 years old, and she was running around and just kind of having fun, as young girls do. And then I looked over at some point and saw a sight that terrified me. Your parents' worst fear. She had taken an object, and she was attempting to insert this into the electrical outlet. I dashed over. I was just, you know, anxious as any parent would be. I pulled her to safety. I was relieved. She was safe. But I was also, at the same time as I was relieved, I was zealous for her to never put herself in a situation again where she could die. So what I did is, as I took her little hand and I swatted her on the hand and said, "No, Lily." And I never could have expected what took place next, because I watched her cute little face contort into rage. I watched her face turn red and her little fists ball up and then let out a squeal like a... And then she charged at me like a battering ram, almost knocking me down. And it was funny. So like you, I laughed when that happened. But it also made me realize through this process that parenting is extremely important, right? Because there's a lot of things we need to help kids learn to do and not do. But while it's extremely important, parenting is often quite unpredictable. You see, years have gone by since then. And I can also add that while parenting can be very rewarding, it's also very challenging at times. It seems like that it's a moving target. And once you get one stage of parenting down, they just keep growing, and the needs change, the opportunities change, the strategies have to change. At the same time, it can feel discouraging when based on your behavior or the behavior of your child, you begin to feel like you're failing at your role as a parent. I mean, think about it. These wonderful children come into this world. They've got no clothes. They've got no money. They've got no suitcase, no stuff, no set of instructions attached to the back of them. And they come like dry sponges, ready to absorb everything that they see us do and the experiences we provide. And it becomes our responsibility, ready or not, to care for them, provide for them, keep them safe, help them to learn a whole bunch of different things, to train them, shape them, and raise them up to someday launch off into a life of their own. What a daunting responsibility. And I know for us, it's one of the ones that if you're a parent, you take very seriously. It's one of these things that we want to do right, and yet we recognize we have limitations, don't we? I mean, how are we equipped for this? For some of us, we maybe had some great and godly parents, and that's good, but they weren't perfect either. And some of us had parents that maybe didn't give us a whole lot to work with and to go off of. But whatever the case is, wherever they fell on the scale, we certainly had parents that were imperfect, that were sinners and needed God's grace and help too. So all of us need help. Now, fortunately, as we're in this relationship help series, we are going to go to God's word because God's word gives us some instruction, some basic foundational help that will help us build a framework and help us to begin to pave a roadmap to where we can go forward in all of this as it gets to telling us what it is we need to do and why we need to do it. Now, the Bible doesn't answer every single question, but it certainly helps us make sure we are at least asking the right questions as it guides us into guiding our children. So as we wrap up this little relationship help mini-series in a message entitled, Help, I'm a Parent, we are going to examine three foundational truths as we go to Scripture that will help to parent our children in a way that pleases God and blesses them. Now, we're going to pick up right where we left off last week as we talked about God's instructions for husbands and wives. We're going to move right after that. Paul discusses the relationship between parents and children and, again, discuss three major things helpful to every parent. Now, let me say right on the beginning that I know some of you are single and some of you are maybe married without children, and this might seem really far off and removed from you right now. Well, what I want you to know is that these are things that you can consider for your future parenting vision. And we're going to touch on some things that are going to help you navigate your relationship with your parents, even if you're grown and out of the house and independent. And for those of you, maybe for yourself, like, well, my children have already grown and left the home, empty nesters. I don't want you to get weighed down and start feeling guilty over maybe what you could have done or should have done better. I mean, it's always good to evaluate these things, but then move on. Rather, my hope for you today is to focus on your current role as a parent because you still have one. It's just different than it was. And listen, know this, as we've gone into these, talking about singles, talking about marriage, now talking about parenting, I cannot hit every issue. I've tried to consider and put myself in a lot of different seats that you guys are in. I'm not going to be able to hit everything, but I hope today that we're going to walk out with some value for everybody. And I certainly hope that this will be encouraging and instructive as we seek God's instruction. So that said, let's go to Ephesians 6. We're just going to read the first four verses. If you don't have your Bibles with you, the verses will be on screen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So we're going to start big picture, and then we're going to zoom in. The first thing I want us to look at is that we always need to remember the goal and your God when you're parenting. So just last week, my wife and I went through two events simultaneously that hit us hard. You see, 6 years ago, we had built this kids' playground and swing set in the backyard, and there we were constructing this thing. And we watched over the years our kids play there. We watched them make a restaurant serving the best mud pies in town. We watched their friends come. We had parties here. But the season for it was over. So we let someone else with younger kids come, disassemble it and take it away and bring it off for their kids to play with. At the same time, we added the second of our three daughters to our cell phone plan. So it's just like this existential crisis, like two out of me, oh no, you know, it's like, well, I'm a mess. So watching all this stuff going on, it's this sad moment. But it's a reminder that the seasons of parenting keep changing, even as our children do. I mean, I remember when they were all babies, and now in 2.5 years, my oldest will be going off to college. That is crazy. And the seasons of parenting keep changing, and we have to change with them. But what doesn't change is the goal and the God that guides us in parenting. Seasons will change, and cultural acceptance and trends and parenting tips and techniques, that's going to keep changing and evolving. It's a moving target. But God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. His goals for us as parents and kids don't change. So that's the good news, and it's why we have to keep your eyes on God. But let's start with a goal. Question: do you have a goal for your kids? A big picture goal in life, and could you name it? If push come to shove, you had to come up and say in a sentence, this is what we want for our kids. Well, if not, until you kind of come up with your own, I have one that I'd like to offer you, crafted from the text that we just read. It is on your outline. It's this: to raise your child or children to be responsible adults who are reverent to God. Now, there's a lot in that. By the end of the message, I think you'll see how it ties to the text. And we're going to talk about what children need to do to become the end result of this goal and what we as parents need to do to help them get there. But even as you hear this goal as parents, does that challenge you and your goal a little bit? Does it maybe push back? I know this. Most parents that I know want a good life for their children, and we're willing to work hard and make lots of sacrifices in order to make it happen. And it doesn't matter if someone is a religious or an irreligious person, they will do these things to help their child or children have the best life possible. And that is commendable and it's necessary, but the question is, what is the best life possible? Many parents would say, I just want to afford my children better opportunities than I had. Or I want them to have a good education with well-rounded skills so that they can have a successful career. Or I want my kids to be safe, to know that I love them and I'm their friend. Or whatever people might say. Listen, there is a place for all of these somewhere on the scale of importance and priority. These are not bad things. The issue is none of them are good enough goals to have as your highest ambition and hope for your child. You see, God wants children to go up to be responsible adults who are reverent to Him because He too wants the best for your children, and He knows what that is. So let's go past the goal to what God's word tells us is the result of achieving this goal. To what happens on the other end? This is what God says to kids, why you should do what God expects. So that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. See, a lot of times that's our goal is the result, but we need to do something different to get to this result. And by the way, that verse, this is not a promise as much as it is a principle. Let me read this from the Bible Knowledge Commentary about this. It says, this states a general principle that obedience fosters self-discipline, which in turn brings stability and longevity in one's life. Stated conversely, it is improbable that an undisciplined person will live a long life. So I submit to you If you want a good life for your children, this is a good goal to always remember in all seasons of parenting. So you remember the goal, but also remember God. You see, this is the place we have to start. If we want to be good parents, if we want to raise good kids, remember, just like last week we discussed that the husband-wife relationship is parallel to our relationship with God. He expresses something about him through this relationship. The same is true with the father-child relationship to show another dimension. You see, God is the good father who wants the best for his children. So he cares for us. He instructs us. He disciplines us. He does all of these things. He matures us and raises us up because he loves us. Now, here's the interesting thing when we talk about all this is God is just as much your children's father as your father. And it's kind of a crazy thing to be. You know, I talked to my girls one day. I said, isn't it weird? Like, God is your father and he's my father. So though I am your father, I am also your brother. Like, whoa. Now, that doesn't mean we can have sibling rivalry or anything like that. Like, right, I'm still your dad. But it is a weird thing to think. Like, in the big picture economy of God, that's the trajectory. That's the thing. God is our father. So God needs to be primary in all of these things. That's why we're starting here before we move to the practical, which we'll get there. We need to keep the spiritual idea high in front of us as the foundational level. Because listen, understand this, God is the one that directs all this, and your children are a gift from God. Two quick takeaways from that. Number one, they do not belong to you. Not my kid. I say my kids all the time, but the understanding is we are stewards entrusted to follow God's way in raising them. Just like everything, our money, our time, our talent, and treasures, it comes from God. It's for God for his purposes. So we need to figure out how does he want us to do it. The second thing about your children are a gift from God is do not idolize them. Worship the gift giver, not the gift. Too many parents build their whole world around their kids. And while that sounds good, I'd submit to you, build your world around God and your kids will be far better off than if you try to put them at that central place. Because when we do that, what we should do is put God first and then serve our kids sacrificially as he commands. Because when we make our children our idol, we fail God, we fail ourselves, and ultimately we fail our kids as well. So again, the basic foundation is always remember the goal and remember your God. Now we move to expect from your children what God expects from them. See, with the big picture and the goal in mind, the next point, the one after that too, helps us craft a path for how to get there with some specific instruction. Now, God's word, it's interesting, in this passage does not just speak to the parent. It speaks to both the child and the parent, and it gives two similar instructions for the children. Paul quotes here from the Ten Commandments, so it's like he's going big time. This is the top 10. And he says, the promise of long life where things go well with you, that is connected to learning to do these things. And it's this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Honor your parents and obey your parents. Right now, there's probably a lot of parents highlighting these verses in their Bibles and maybe going to go home with some memorization exercises for your children. And that's fine. Actually, you should do that. But parents, enjoy while you can, because we're going to get to you shortly. But let me start with an assumption. First of all, before we can obey something, there needs to be the rules of engagement. There needs to be some instruction that's laid out there. Bob Barnes, a parenting author, speaker, who we've had many times here over the years, probably past time to bring him back, he talks about what he calls his ICE plan. It stands for instruction, correction, encouragement. That parents, we need to always keep these things in front of us. But the point is, you have to have a plan that is clearly communicated and consistently enforced, or it leads to all-around frustration. Now, this is big. So some of you parents, if you're like, oh, maybe we had this in an earlier season of life, but we're kind of lost in this area, this is some homework. Get together. If you're single parent, spend some time, talk to the Lord. If you're married, get together and work this stuff out. Maybe a book to help you is Bob Barnes' book, Parenting on Purpose. That's a great resource to start with. But once that's all laid out, the responsibility goes back to the child. And first it is obey. This means that a child's responsibility, one of them, is to do what their parents ask them to do, even when they don't want to do it. Even when they don't feel like it, Kids, are your parents ever unreasonable or ridiculous? I know it. Of course we are sometimes. But I've told my kids, your job is to obey, even when you don't understand the why, agree with the decision, even when you think I'm dumb or too strict. The only times you shouldn't obey me is if I ever ask you to do anything that's either illegal or immoral. In those, you should completely disobey. But other than that, it says obey in the Lord. And so anything that would violate God's command, you can disobey. But I also think it means this. Obeying in the Lord means sometimes we're going to, as parents, get some things wrong. It's not illegal or it's immoral, but maybe it wasn't the best decision. Sometimes we make bad calls and a child is still stuck having to obey. But how, as kids, can you do that? I think you can offer a prayer to God, something like this. God, I think my parents are being kind of stupid right now. But you, my Heavenly Father, are all wise, so I will obey you by obeying my parents as an act of worship to you. What a great, by the way, there's also similar instructions in a workplace. You could do that with your boss too. Say, man, I work for a complete buffoon. But, I hope my staff members aren't nodding in approval, but the point is, Even so, you can obey the Lord, and you're the people that you're supposed to obey are happy, and God is honored in this entire process. Now, if that isn't enough, God also asks children to honor their parents. Honor literally means to value or to show value or to revere. So it's important you do the right thing the right way. So if you're to say to your kids, do your chores, and their response was, fine, you stupid blankety blank, right? It's like, whoa. It's great. We've got obedience, but we don't have the honor thing. Those things kind of have to work together. We have to know what God commands of you and then decide to do it. Because again, it's not just the right thing to be obedient without being honoring. And so one of the things I'd encourage, if you're in this place, kids, one of the things is focus. If honor means value, think about the value of your parents. There's got to be something they do right. Focus on that, because we can focus on all the wrong things and ask God to show you and remind you these things to honor them, because that is part of the responsibility that we have to do intentionally. And if you don't intentionally choose honor, then you will, as a result, experience disrespect and dishonor, which disobeys God. Now, kids and parents, what's super important in all of this to keep in mind is that in the big picture, there's a shift that takes place. You see, when you live at home, you are to honor and obey your parents. But as time goes on and you grow, the command to obey goes away. But the command to honor always remains. Even if you don't feel your parents are very honorable, that stays here. But the command to obedience, again, that completely goes away. I tell my kids all the time, I know you don't agree with this decision, but here's what you need to know. Someday, this is going to be your decision to make. Here's why we're doing it this way, and you're going to have to think about what you do, because someday this will absolutely be your decision. We're not going to hold it forever, and that's the plan. And so maybe a question for you to think about is grown kids that have parents that you're adults now. What does that mean? Do you honor your parents? Have you thought of ways to do that? Maybe today you could write down to call them up and think of something that they've brought of great values. Think of a way that you can respect them and honor them. Maybe take them out to lunch today and do something like that. But just figure out a way to honor your parents. You see, these instructions are all part of the goal in your God. It's obeying God. It's doing what he says is important. But it's also about children learning to be responsible. You see, a child who doesn't learn how to obey and honor authority in the home will have great trouble outside of the home for the rest of their lives, because this is the training ground. And that will ultimately lead to a person having all kinds of trouble and lead away from things going well and having the long life that God wants you to enjoy. Now, parents, I addressed you with this point, even though the command is for your children, and my challenge is to expect these things from your children. Don't undermine what God wants to do in your children by lowering the bar. Don't let your children disobey you and dishonor you, even when it's easier maybe to let some things go. Maybe you think you're being gracious, but maybe you're actually hurting them in the long term. You need to expect obedience and honor from your children. But you know, we can also make it easier for them. We can make it not difficult. One way that we can do this is obey God yourself. You see, our kids, as we are telling them to obey us, they're looking, are we obeying God even as we ask them to do it? And if they see us not doing that, it makes them harder to do it as well. I've had one of my kids, you know, I've had to give a consequence, and they'll say, well, you do things wrong. Where is your consequence? It's like, okay, it's a good question. I have to answer to God, just like someday you will. For now, you have to answer to me. Not only obey God, but honor God and honor them. Parents, again, God is your father too. Do you show value to him? Do you show honor to God in your life? And do you value your kids? Yes, you are in charge, but you can still show honor and you can still show humility. You can make it easier for your children to honor you by honoring them. An example, the power of an apology. Parents were not always going to do the right thing. And so you can train them on being wrong and owning up to it and just saying, look, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have lost my temper in that moment. Or, hey, I realized I did this wrong. Will you forgive me and humble yourself to do that? Because it's the right thing. You're honoring them and you're teaching them to close the loop in a relationship when things don't go as they should. And that's going to be a part of every relationship. A third thing you can do is the consistency of rules that adapt over time. Have clear age-appropriate instruction. Now, the fourth thing is remember the scale of their responsibility and don't overstep. This means if your kids are grown, you need to stop expecting obedience from them. That time has passed. That time is gone. Their obedience now is to God. So don't make it harder for them to honor you by expecting that somehow they should still obey you. So parents, expect honor and obedience, if the age is still right for that, from your children, because it's what God wants for them, and it will help them to achieve this goal of this good life. But also the last thing is offer your children what God expects from you. This is where it gets challenging. Parents, you need to inform your kids of what God expects from them and expect it from them yourself, but we need to also offer our children what God expects from us. And just like kids have two commands that they're supposed to obey, we too have two commands for us. We have it stated in a negative and in a positive expectation. And as parents, this is stuff that can get really hard sometimes. It can be difficult to navigate how to always do this right. But because we want to honor God and because we want to be good stewards of the children that he has entrusted to us and because we want the best for these children, we have to be committed to trying to do it right. Because again, we care about their long-term well-being. And you see, some of the outcome is determined by their responsibilities and what they choose to do and not do. But a lot of it is determined and shaped by how we fulfill our responsibilities. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. First, don't exasperate your children. This word means to provoke your children or frustrate them. You see, God is sympathetic to your children. That's why he puts some instructions for parents in there. We can't just do whatever we want. He's sympathetic to our children because he's their heavenly father. And he's perfect, but he also knows that their earthly parents, us, are not perfect. We are all sinners. So he instructs us to not provoke or frustrate them unnecessarily. And there's so many ways we can do that by having no plan of instruction and then consequences for not following a rule that was some arbitrary thing we made up. Inconsistency, ever-changing rules and sporadic enforcement. Number three, too strict of rules beyond the age and stage where that training is long gone. And by the way, parents and kids are never going to agree. Parents think things, rules should last longer. Kids think it's already way past that time. So that's a tension you're going to have to manage and work through that, but we should work through it. And number four, too harsh of punishment in actions or in words. Oh man, I remember when my kids were younger, and if I experienced if maybe one of them was disrespectful or disobedient, I could go nuclear. Like, oh yeah, you are grounded for a year, and I'm gonna bag up everything you own, and you can't talk anymore. It's like, you know, just some. Maybe that's a little exaggerated, but there's an extreme in there that, and my wife, who is an amazing wife and a wonderful mother, just pours into these kids. She would take me aside. By the way, married people, that's a cue. don't correct each other on your parenting in front of your kids. Rookie mistake. Take each other aside because you want to be united in your approach to your kids, and you don't want to let your kids divide you. But so Rebecca will take me aside and say, you know, just kind of calm the savage beast and say, do you think that's reasonable? Like, a little. And she said, well, do you think that maybe we could approach it this way or come at it this direction? And it's like, I suppose we could. Children, I have come up with a new idea. You know, it's just kind of... But the point is, you don't frustrate them by going nuclear because it's not helpful to them and it's only going to discourage them. God wants us to help our kids learn to be responsible adults and reverent to Him. So there needs to be rules, there needs to be parameters and consequences. To not have them in place fails a child. But God does not want us to break down our children or crush their spirits. You see, none of us do this on purpose, but maybe we can do that sometimes when we don't control our temper, when we don't properly set expectations and so forth, we'll break them down and they'll get discouraged. You see, in the ICE plan that we mentioned, we it's this idea of instruction that we've talked about, the idea of correction that we're getting to in a minute. But the third thing is encouragement. Our kids need this from us so badly. I think most of the time, many times, our children want to know how they can win. And so many times when they do wrong, we point it out and we let them have it. But then sometimes they change their attitude, they change their behavior, they go out of their way to honor us and to be obedient to us. And then we say nothing. How frustrating and discouraging. They need to hear more words of encouragement than correction. And that's a general principle in your child. You should always think about, and maybe the ratio, 5-1. And some of you are thinking, oh my goodness, at this stage in life, I've got to say a lot of encouraging things. And that's okay. Then maybe that's some homework this week, that you would just spend that time thinking about how can you catch your child doing something right and affirm them. Oh, that's so great that you did that. Hey, that's really cool. Oh, man, you're so good at this. They need that from us. And when we do that, it makes it easier to hear the words of correction that are going to need to come. It's so important that we don't break our children down. And second, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You see, other translations say discipline and instruction of the Lord, or instruction and correction in the ICE model. The idea is it's designed to build them up and not break them down. And this is where it's so important to remember the goal, to raise your child to be responsible adults who are reverent to God. So we need to give our children lots of instructions on what it means to be a responsible person in life. And sometimes one of the things, we didn't make this up, but we heard this along the way. Tell them why they need to be responsible. Say, hey, you know what? Because when you're not responsibility, it doesn't go away. It just becomes someone else's responsibility. And you shouldn't do that in life. You know, we all have to carry our things. So just teaching them these things, but also teaching them the spiritual things so they can become reverent to God. So we need to teach practical things and godly things. You need instructions for both. We need to constantly make deposits into our children. And we always have to remember too, by the way, this is the humbling thing, this is the terrifying thing, and could be the good thing, is that we are always instructing our children by modeling. They watch everything we do, and they have a long memory. I remember, you guys remember the New Britain Rock Cats? Well, I remember going to games. I remember when our kids were real young, and I had two in the back of the van, and I'm driving up, and I got all the way to where, I mean, man, we're getting premium parking spot. And the guy right up front, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, you got to go back to that lot, like all the way back. And I was just like frustrated. I was like, dude, I've got kids. And he's like, all right, you park right there. And I didn't hear a peep out of my words. And then all of a sudden, I pull into park, and I hear in the back, dude, I've got kids. And it's like my children mocking me and imitating me. And then the whole rest of the game, dude, I've got kids. Years later, I'll hear, dude, I've got kids, when they remember to kind of bring that up at some point in time. And it's like just this funny thing. So remember, we are always instructing our kid through our modeling. I remember coming home from work one day and watching my child dressed like this. There's little Emily. I come home, she's got my jacket, she's got my tie, she's got my shoes on. And it was so cute. And it was also like, oh no, They're going to walk in my shoes, and that could be really good or really bad. But it's this reminder that we are constantly modeling for our children. So again, thinking through what we want to model. And so practically teaching kids about proper exercise, nutrition, how to handle money wisely, how to make good friends, about physical appearance, how to study, work habits, what to look for in a future spouse, how to handle technology. Boy, that's a hot button that I'm going to save for another day, especially as your kids get older. But there's all kinds of practical things. But one thing I'm going to tell you is don't keep your goal a secret. Like this goal, if you adopt this one or come up with a similar one, tell them, this is what we want with you. Teach them that. Don't hold it back. But also we need to give them spiritual instruction in the Lord. All of those practical things have spiritual application and implication. Hey, you need to learn to be a good steward of your body so that you can be fit to serve God in whatever capacity he calls you to. You need to manage your finances in such a way so that you're not a slave to debt and that you can give generously to advance God's kingdom as the opportunities emerge. You need to make good friends because that, more than most factors, will determine the quality and direction of your life. And if you want to follow God, you need godly friends to help guide you along the way. You see, every single one of these, you can bring that. And beyond that, there's basic godly instruction. What is God like? What does the Bible teach? Teach them to pray. Teach them to spend quiet time with God. Teach them to make him a priority in life. I love God's instructions to the Jewish people in Deuteronomy 11. He says, fix these words of mine, his scripture, in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols as your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit down, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Write them in the door frames of your house and on your gates so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Notice, we have to first be immersed in God's word ourselves and then pass it on to our kids. By the way, that's why at Calvary Kids, we try to teach your kids at age appropriate environments, but we recognize this. We cannot, should not be the primary spiritual influence in your children's life. That's your job. Our job, we maybe get 40 hours per year of biblical instruction for your kids. If you think that's enough for your kids, I don't think that's enough. So what we want to do is recognize you parents as the spiritual authority in your life over your children, and then try to equip you, partner with you, give you resources, and however we can come alongside of you. But it's that responsibility to be those spiritual leaders. And God expects us to give instructions to our kids. But you know, he also expects correction or discipline, because our kids may be great, but they're not perfect, are they? And they will definitely test the parameters. When you say you can't do this, they're going to find out. They're going to push against that and see if you really mean what you're saying. Because you know what? You do that in life. You see signs like, okay, let me see if you really mean what you're saying here. Like, we all do this, and kids are going to do that too. So our kids are definitely going to test and see what they get away with. So they need to know if they push against the rules by doing something they shouldn't do or not doing something that they should do, that there is going to be a natural, direct pushback, cause and effect that takes place. Because if they don't learn to be responsible through the process of discipline when they are children, the problem and consequences only gets worse in life. I mean, jail, prison, the streets are filled with many people who never learn this. Proverbs says this, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. You open up yourself to all kinds of damage if you don't learn responsibility and reverence to God through the process of discipline, external at first from our parents, eventually that becomes self-discipline. So practical question, what is the proper form of discipline? Evasive answer. It depends on the stage and age of your life. It depends upon the temperament of your parent and so forth. Now, let me go where angels fear to tread. The question comes up, should you spank your child? And I'm going to step out here a little bit, because some say if you ever for any reason spank your child, you are a child abuser. Well, to me, that's equivalent to saying, if you never spank your child, you are abusing your children because they will become feral beasts that roam the neighborhood, damaging property and harassing people. So they're both extreme positions, right? I think you have to look at it a little bit. Here is my perspective. For some kids, spanking at a young age can be effective if their temperament works, while at the same time, timeouts. Loss of privileges can also be effective. for some parents who keep their cool. Spanking can be effective, but for parents who lose their cool, beat their children, then you better not spank, because abuse is abuse, and that's never okay to do for your child. Now, even as I say that, I know some of you are pushing back, because I understand what culture thinks about all this, and saying, you should just never do that. Well, here's what, do timeouts. Do you guys know that timeouts are also called abuse in a lot of forms now? I look it up, Psychology Today. I've been looking at that. Most research says that we need timeouts on timeouts, that that's abusive to your kids. And I guess I'm just wondering what's left. You know, at some point, like, I was thinking about it this week. It's like, okay, what am I going to do? Like, do you try the kitten strategy, like bottled water? You didn't do the dishes. You know? It cleans its hose or it gets the spray bottle. Look, I don't know. I'm not prescribing discipline to you of any form. Here's what I'm saying. You can say that spanking is not for me. You have that right. You have that freedom. You can say timeouts are not for me. What you cannot say is that discipline is not for me, because that is irresponsible and you will not serve your child well or obey God. So this is another conversation parents must have. Again, if you're married, pray and talk to your spouse about it. If you're a single parent, talk to God. But also, if you have conversation with your ex, and if they're still active in their child's life, try to talk to them and be consistent in both homes. I know that's really hard. But remember, whatever it is, if a child doesn't learn consequences for irresponsible behavior now, they're going to have to learn it in life much later, when the stakes are much higher. And instead of maybe losing their device for a little while now, they may lose their job. They may lose their marriage. They may lose their freedom or even their life. It's important if we want things to go well for our children and have a long life on the earth. You know, but parents, I want to say this. There is another scale, just like we talked about the shift with obedience on honor. There is a shift that takes place that we have to make this shift, and it's from control to influence. See, when our kids are very young, we have all the control in the world. Those of you with newborns, right, you have all control. You have control when they go to bed, when they come up. You have control what they wear. You can put weird outfits on them. You can do all those things. Enjoy that, because you'll realize how much that's slipping from you the moment they begin walking. And everything changes from that point, and it doesn't ever stop. You see, progressively, you will have to have less and less control. And when they leave your home, you're going to have zero control, and the only thing left is influence. What this means is you need to embrace this process and not fight it. Your goal is to help your child become responsible. So give away freedom as they get older. Here's a resource. If your kids are tweens or preteens starting to be teenagers, here's a book, Biting the Hand That Feeds You. I know it's a funny title, but it's all about this concept of planned emancipation, about when and how maybe to implement freedoms in your child. So by the time they go, you've already given them. So it's not like you've held them under lock and key and they turn 18. They can't wait to run away and do everything. It's because you've planned a strategy along the way to help guide them in this. But also, invest in relationship. You see, that builds influence so that one day when they move out and share your opinion, you know, they're no longer obligated to listen to what you have to say. But if you've invested relationally in them, then you have earned the influence. So perhaps they'll at least consider whatever it is that you're trying to say. Now, parents of grown kids, maybe as you hear all this, you may be wishing you had done some things differently. What I want to encourage you is, again, not to find your focus on that, but focus on now. How can you continue to foster and invest and build relationally so that you can build up that influence? Now, I hope today is helpful for you, especially parents trying to build a foundation, trying to lay out a roadmap to help your kids become all that they can be and that God wants them to be. And as you're trying to navigate this whole parenting thing so that your children can become responsible adults who are reverent to God. But I know this also, there's so many things that we've done wrong. There's so many missed opportunities. I actually, and I don't do this often, I actually cried when I wrote parts of this message, because it was just like thinking through the lenses of myself and my kids. And then I went to, the same day I went on a lunch break, walked over to the grocery store right across the parking lot to buy some lunch. And over the PA, I hear Daughters by John Mayer. And I'm in there like, you know, just like, don't get emotional, you know. But it just like hit me, the impact of all these responsibilities. I guess what I want to say is that we need to do our very best for God's sake and for the children that he has entrusted to us. But parents, you also need to receive the grace, because we're going to fail sometimes. We'll probably do it a lot. but he is our father, and just like there's grace for our children, there is grace for our failure from our heavenly father. And the very best thing that we have to offer, despite all of our imperfections, the best thing we have to offer our children is a vibrant relationship with Jesus ourselves. So let's reconnect him now with the intimate and spiritual act of communion, a time where we can go to him. And we're going to do that in a minute. But what I want you to say is think about this, and maybe it pertains if you're a parent and you just, man, I've failed in so many ways. Talk to God about that, confess that, repent. Maybe if you're a single person and you're like, man, I've had some real strained relationships with my parents, maybe you can talk about God and as your heavenly father and help you to navigate that and what it means to honor your parents anyway. Maybe your kids are grown and whatever it is you're processing, maybe it has nothing to do with this, but there's some sin in your life that you need to confess to God, or there's some prayer that you need to give him. Remember, when we come together at communion, it's an intimate act between Jesus and his followers. Now, before we get to that, I want to just ask, as we continue in a spirit of worship, would you go ahead and take out your connection cards, as Crystal mentioned earlier? What I want to do is just encourage you to think through, as you're going through today, maybe think of this as a spiritual act of worship. I want to talk about next steps. Maybe for you as you're going forward is to conform my parenting goals and strategy to God. Maybe that's something you need to think about. Next maybe is to offer my child the instruction, correction, encouragement they need. If there's an area you haven't been given instruction or correction or encouragement, really focus on that. Or to intentionally seek to honor my parents in obedience to God. And what does that look like for you? How can you step out and do that? Now, if you want us to pray over that or any areas of your life, go ahead and write that on the back of the connection cards. In one moment, the ushers, greeters are going to come by. They're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And remember, that is an act of worship to God. When you give financially, that's something Scripture instructs us to do, but it's connected to a heart of worship, because what we have comes from God. It's for God and his purposes, just like our kids, just like anything else. But these cards, the prayer request or commitments you want to make to God, whatever it is you want to put there, can also be an act of worship as you're trusting God and saying, God, I trust you enough to pray over this responsibility. So here's what I want to do. We're going to take a moment. We're going to invite greeters and ushers to come forward, receive the tithes, offerings, and connection cards right now, and then we'll get ready to go into a moment of communion. What I'd like you guys to consider is, again, as you come up in a moment to receive the elements, we're going to come practically, we're going to take the elements, we're going to return to our seats, and I believe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the gluten-free option is all the way to my left table, your right, is that good, right? All right. If you have an allergy, you'll find out. But no, I think it's all the way to the left. These elements represent the broken body of Jesus, who was broken so that we might be made whole. The blood represents his blood that was spilled for us. So as we take these in, we are re-upping that commitment. Jesus said every time, you know, as often as you gather this, confess. It's for my blood was spilled for the forgiving of many sins. And so it's a reminder that our life is wrapped up and bound up in Jesus. So as I said earlier, it's a time where you can recalibrate. It's a time where you can repent, rejoice, celebrate, have some time in your prayer and in your private prayers as we go forward. And what I'm going to do at this time is I'm just going to go ahead and invite you up. The band's going to begin to play, and I'm going to encourage you to grab the elements, return to your seats, and in a moment, we'll take it together, and then we'll close with a song of worship. So come forward. Or in the back.